Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. Welcome to the call this evening. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome to our Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call, the second Tuesday of 2015. What a year it is going to be for those of you on tonight's call. Many of you are on your way to one of your company events. Many of you on tonight's call have company events all around the United States coming up in the first quarter of 2015. Many of you on tonight's call are also ranking, advancing in your companies. You're starting to create prosperity, reciprocity, and wealth. And this call is dedicated to all of you on tonight's call who are in the process of transformation, change, letting go of some of your anxieties, and really becoming and being that person you deserve to be. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and I have a very unique call on a topic I've never covered on this Tuesday night call in an 18-plus year period. It's really having a better understanding of cause and effect of codependence, what it really means, the multiple synonyms and definitions, what it means to you as a business owner, and how you can let go of the control that keeps you in control of being disappointed. I'm going to cover that in depth tonight. I'm going to follow it up next week with Adam Schiff, who's an exceptional therapist, marriage counselor, a first-class client and friend of mine who really understands addictions, why we do what we do, most importantly, how to really be and stay in our power. If you seek to build a leveraged enterprise from the comfort of your home via real estate, internet marketing, direct sales, network marketing, or intellectual property, it's very important you start to change your attractor factor and start to attract the people you can collaborate with, create results, and come from a whole different level of emotional power where you don't talk yourself out of the results that you deserve to create. Now, in about 55 minutes, I'll be HIR, hitting the road. Myself and my team of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, which will be David Harris, Chris Scharr, and Ilan Amir, will be heading to beautiful Palm Springs, California. I live in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, where it is in the 70s today, and in Palm Springs it will be in the 80s. So for those of you who are on tonight's call and you're attending the Millionaire Blueprint event this coming Thursday, the tickets are sold out. But however, those of you who know me understand that what does that mean? It means you can probably get a seat if you get there relatively early, if you're willing to sit on the floor or find a space. I don't really care where you sit, as long as you can find a space and it doesn't affect the fire code. You're going to have the opportunity to see Susan Sly. You'll also see Alexis Romano, who just 2 years ago absolutely started to break through in her enterprise. You'll see her speak. I'm also going to have some of my exceptional clients who I've unequivocally watched transform: Crystal Lowry, Dawn Ferrantino, and also C.G. Siddons. You'll see some of these women who I will give the opportunity to share, tell their story, etc. So it's going to be a fabulous pre-event to a landmark event. Next Saturday, I will be in one of my favorite cities in the United States, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That'll be a week from this coming Saturday. That will be January 24th. And once again, there'll be some exceptional speakers. C.G. Siddons, Brad Mossman, and Alexis Romano will be in attendance at these events. So my events is not just me speaking. I empower many of my clients who have gone on to become six- and seven-figure income earners, and what's very impressive, some of my clients are in the process of achieving more than I do, and I commend them for that. When you are able to attract people who can exceed your results, you should never feel diminished. You should feel empowered, because that means that you led by example and people went out and did what you shared with them, showed them how to do and what to become. On January 31st, for the first time ever, I'll be in El Paso, Texas, the custom boot capital of the world. Casey Fluff has been a world-class client of mine for going into my third year, someone who's unequivocally walks her talk of bringing peace and prosperity to free enterprise, will be my host, and it's going to be a fabulous event. So if you're it's an interesting remote part of the United States. Las Cruces, New Mexico is right across the border. It's going to be a fabulous opportunity. So anyone in the West Texas region, like not just West Texas, but I mean west of West Texas, it'll be a fabulous event. On February 14th, I'll be in Los Angeles, California. The 28th, Long Island, New York. March 7th, St. Louis. March 14th, Norwalk, and March 28th, Weehawken, New Jersey, with, once again, Alexis and all of her exceptional team and speakers and many people from the East Coast. All of my events are generic. I'm also in the process of booking some great speakers for the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent calls. So we're going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. If you're on tonight's call, as I said earlier, if you just dialed in, this is the first time I've ever covered this topic, even though it's a very near and dear topic to me, that is codependence. And I'm going to cover some of the key components of why you may have codependent tendencies, why you may be addicted to codependency, how you can begin to let go, the cause and the effect, and most importantly, how it affects you and how it affects your attractor factor. And the more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the more you'll understand the mind-body connections that create some of your diseases, your illnesses, and your anxieties, the better you will be at your law of attraction. Now, if you own a leveraged business or you're in the process of becoming an exceptional entrepreneur or entrepreneurs in free enterprise and you are starting to break through, it's important you understand your enterprise is going to be a direct reflection of not who you get, not who you drag, not who you beg, but who you attract, who either you can mentor, create a win-win situation, they become successful so you can collaborate, or attract people who are already exceptional, people who have influence, affluence, people who are self-starters, self-driven, so that you don't feel responsible for their success. Now, one of the biggest deterrents of success is a four-letter word, fear, F-E-A-R. Unfortunately, more people have anxiety about failing than they do energy about succeeding. And I every single day I coach 13 to 14 clients, Monday through Wednesday, 12 on Thursday. 90% of them have the same anxiety, fear of success. However, fear of success is really a wraparound because it's fear of failure. Most of my clients fear failure. Really, it means fear of success and failure. Oftentimes, the distinction is very fine and which one you have the most anxiety about. A lot of your anxiety will be a direct reflection of the events that have shaped your feelings. If you grew up in a passive-aggressive household, if you grew up in a household with violence, if you grew up in a household with sexual, physical, and or emotional abuse, if you grew up in a household with a broken home, if you were traumatized by a brother, sister, or a sibling, if you were bullied on a playground by a nun, by a teacher, by any situation, there's a high probability that it had an effect on your self-esteem. Your self-esteem will be a direct reflection of how I or how you feel about myself. Your attractor factor, the ability to attract the people you can co-create, collaborate, create a culture and or a tribe is going to be a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself, how you've been conditioned to behave, how you feel about giving, receiving, deserving, and asking. And if you have challenges in some of these modalities, there's a high probability that you will attract people to fill a set of feelings that keep you overwhelmed, anxious, unorganized, and disappointed, all of which are skills you require not only to be successful in life or in business, to be successful in life for yourself. What you do for career is what you do. That's what you do as a human doing, but who you are as a human being is who I am. And on any given moment, I am, that's what you would say in present tense, I am is changing. Now, many of you grew up faster than you should have. You were put in a position that you had to become a grown-up. You were put in a position that you may have had to protect someone. You were put in a position that you were felt less than by someone who was highly critical, passive-aggressive, and or aggressive. And if that's a condition that becomes your behavior, any of those conditions can lead to codependency. One of the greatest books in personal development, self-improvement, ever written was by Melody Beatty called Codependent No More. And then there's multiple versions that she has written as companion products and projects to enhance your ability to understand why we do what we do. Broken down, codependence has several meanings. I'm going to give you a few textbook meanings I was able to garner in doing my research for tonight's call, but my own definition, it's a tendency to do more for others to fulfill your low self-esteem so you can set yourself up to be and stay disappointed. It's a tendency to enable, E-N-A-B-L-E. It's a tendency to overgive. It's a tendency to to use everything in your bucket to empower everyone else or to do situations for someone else, to rescue someone else, to enable them to fulfill their addiction and your emotional chemical dependency to their physical dependency on drugs, alcohol, and any other multitude of situations. And this will show up over and over in business because you will tend to attract people who are addicted dieters. You will tend to attract people who have emotional and physical addictions. You'll tend to attract people who have chaos and drama, people that require being rescued. Yes, I know I'm getting some of you. I can feel you. You're shaking your heads. You will tend to attract people who don't produce. You'll attract people who will seduce you into believing. You'll get shiny object syndrome from some of these people. You'll get overwhelmed and intoxicated on the possibility of someone leading you to the land of promise. And when you get that kind of attachment to someone, there's a high probability that you have set yourself up to be disappointed. And the more you understand the cause, that creates the effect. Just a very simple test is evaluate your own household. And you do this objectively without blaming anyone. Your parents didn't do the best they could do. They did what they did. Understand that. Be objective. Take your parents off the perfect mantle. Put them where they are in objectivity or whoever the situation that you want to take a look at the picture and be real clear on cause and effect, why you do what you do. But if you tend to say, my whole childhood was a blur, I don't remember my past, I don't understand this situation, I can't figure out why I always sabotage myself. If you're a great starter and a very poor finisher, it's a direct reflection of your inability to be intimate with yourself. It's your inability to commit. It's your inability to decide. Many people start and have challenges finishing. And if you're about to go to a company event this year and you have people going with you, don't set yourself up to say, oh my God, now this is going to be your year, but don't get so excited that you get inflated. You also have to let go a lot of your self-help tendency. Self-help meaning you have a lot of great books, downloads, audios on your shelves, and you continue to perpetuate those shelves by listening, reading, and intoxicating yourself with self-help, but never applying the practical application to the reality of success. Reality of success requires emotional discipline. It requires being comfortable with self, having a self-esteem that allows you to feel comfortable in asking, receiving, and deserving. Giving is a major component in life. Being a great giver is an asset, but being a great receiver is also an asset. That means you have to let go of your tendency to feel guilt and shame, your tendency to get overwhelmed, your tendency to hold on to what you heard at the 20,000 meals with the wrong financial planners, and change your dialogue with money. Money is an inanimate object that typically is objective that you typically don't get your hands on because most money in today's world is FICA money. It's credit. You don't even see it except on a computer screen as you move mythical money in your bank account to pay your transactions and some of your obligations, and then you're able to move a little of it to a debit card and use the debit card and never even really see real, lawful, legal, tangible money. In 1913, America begins to move off of the gold standard. It takes about 20 years for that to happen through the Federal Reserve and a series of bank acts. 1964, America goes off the silver standard. There's very little real money. Not only is there very real money, many people have challenges attracting the people that they can create money with because of their anxiety, want to save, rescue, do too much for people to fulfill their own low self-esteem. Now, here are a couple of definitions of codependent. Codependent. I have heard and read many definitions of codependencies. In an article from the book Codependency, an Emerging Issue, Robert Suby wrote, codependency is an emotional, psychological, and behavioral condition that develops as a result of an individual's prolonged exposure to and practice of a set of opposite rules. Rules which present the open expression of feeling, it means you stuff your feelings, as well as the direct discussion of personal and interpersonal problems. And so much of that is exactly what people do. They end up stuffing their feelings, take care of people in their circle of influence, and they attract the same situation to their teams. Codependency is knowing all your relationships will either go on and on the same way painfully or end up the same way disastrously or both. That's what happens to a lot of relationships. Now, if you tend to attract people to relationships that abandon you, violate you emotionally, people undermine you or sabotage you, that's a direct reflection of typically went on with people that you are very intimate with in your interpersonal relationships as you grow up. I mean, let's take a look at the most common commonality that creates codependency. Codependency often is the other side of addiction. If you grew up in an addictive household and you have to step to the plate and you actually have to go to work when you're 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, and you have to take your money from the paper route, your money from the lemonade stand, your money from being a babysitter, and you have to contribute your money to your household, there's a high probability that you will have challenges receiving money in today's world, and you will tend to give it away because it has become neurologically a condition that you behave in. There will be a high probability that you'll have challenges receiving. There's a high probability, if that's how you began an interaction with money, there's a high probability that you will become a compulsive spender to keep money away from you because you've created a negative anti-money virus that you aren't good enough to receive, that your efforts go to someone else. And it's very, very common. If you are someone who tends to give, and you give till the bucket is dry, and there's no room left in your bucket because the well is empty, because you do more for others than you'd ever do for yourself. Now, once again, you have to take this in context. This isn't black and white. This doesn't remotely mean that you can't serve people, you can't volunteer. This doesn't mean that you can't be a real role model in your team, you can't be someone who facilitates and organizes. But what I'm attempting to assist you with to understand is giving your power away, is enabling, is rescuing, is doing too much, whatever that means, doing too much. You'd have to really evaluate yourself. It's not a black and white issue. Is doing too much for others my identity? Now, if you have balance in it, then there's a whole different equation. And you want to be able to create not codependent relationships, but equal independent relationships and undependent. There's a big difference between codependent and undependent. If you have a spouse who is able to, I'm just going to give you a hypothetical. You have a spouse who fulfills equal obligations in the relationship, and he or she may also contribute to the financial household, or they have a whole set of other guidelines and situations they do, or if you have a business partner that's a spouse, a significant other, or a lover, or whatever it is that you have, and you have equal feelings about your roles in the relationship, then there's a high probability that there won't be resentment. When you tend to do too much for other people and you don't feel reciprocation back, there's a high probability that you will feel guilty for what you did, or you've been guilted into doing situations, which is a whole other situation I will cover, and then you typically will tend to feel disappointed that the people you do too much for don't reciprocate. Now, many of you are getting ready to go to a company event, and what's interesting is there is a percent of people that at the last minute cancel. Now, if you had your hopes up, or you perhaps bought someone a ticket, or reserved someone a seat, or did some situation, and then you put a lot of emotional pressure, a lot of emotional energy on how this event was going to bring you together, it was going to turn the corner, it was going to swing the tide, or whatever the story that you created that has not happened to keep you disappointed, well, that's typically how you'll exhibit your codependent tendencies to feel deflated, let down, and you'll go from the peak of the dopamine elevator to the bottom of the cortisol shaft. And if you tend to do this, you have high highs and low lows. That's usually a direct reflection of your codependency. Now, being independent and undependent means you start to create emotional autonomy. It means you start to take situations a lot less personal. It means that you aren't nearly as sensitive and defensive as you used to be. You're able to let terms and statements that people may say about you roll off of your back. You let petty jealousy, piety, and other situations not have the same effect on you. When you're sensitive and defensive, you virtually end up attracting violators to fulfill your feelings of extreme low self-esteem. If you're one of these people that's so sensitive and defensive, you have to continually say, yeah, but. If you're one of these people and you're constantly defending yourself, That's a neurological condition. That's a behavior that's very, very non-conducive to creating any kind of collaboration. And you'll tend to create rejection issues. Codependent issues breed rejection and abandonment issues. When you have codependent tendencies, there's a high probability that you will have challenges prospecting. You will have challenges connecting. Now, many people start to overcome some of this. They start to move forward, and they're able to typically enroll someone or be able to sell someone or close someone on a product purchase, because it doesn't seem like the same kind of transaction. It creates a softer type of transaction. That's not really real, but that's a story you tell yourself. And sensitive people tend to be able to feel a lot more comfortable about selling a product and a service rather than an idea, because an idea is a lot more in the ether. It's more etheric. It's more spiritual. It's not nearly as tangible. And this is why codependent people typically, and I'm talking about a large percent of society, have challenges selling the dream, because it's more etherical. It's more spiritual. It's less tangible. And it doesn't typically have the same kind of result. And also, selling the dream would represent the good life. If you struggled most of your life, then success would contradict your struggle. And if you grew up with passive-aggressive parents who were extremely oppressive and or extremely critical, then there's a high probability that you will have major challenges with succeeding, because you'll have invented a story about failing. And many of you will avoid the opportunity to fail. That's your self-talk. That's your story. Your codependent tendencies will say, I fear failure. There's a high probability that many of you on tonight's call, the bell is going off of what I'm covering you. Rather than putting your energy into succeeding and or learning the simple discipline one day at a time, learning how to prospect, learning how to ask the questions in a sequence, learning how to create leads effortlessly, you have to let go of this whole idea you have about the perfect lead. Leads are leads, and leads are a way of life. When you start to let go of your anxiety about being rejected, being disappointed, and being abandoned, calling a lead, asking a question, communicating and connecting with someone becomes a whole different experience, and you'll change your story. Most of your stories are a direct reflection of the codependent events that have created your identity. As you begin to let go, you'll feel a lot less guilty. You'll feel a lot less shame. A lot of you have been guilted into being codependent. Now, myself and Carolyn Olson started a group a little over a month ago called Guilt Cleanse. GuiltCleanse. It is a private group that all you have to do is request internship or membership into, and you can join the group, and you will see that many people are starting to come from power. They're starting to let go of their guilt. Your guilt is also a direct reflection of the events that have created an identity in yourself that creates a low self-esteem that puts you in a position that you have to tend to enable people, do too much for people, and typically you will create a false identity behind your tendency to do too much for people. This then inhibits your ability to ask, receive, and deserve. It becomes the number one deterrent to success, because you're not comfortable, not just with prospecting, not just with asking the questions, but receiving, because receiving contradicts codependency. Because when you're coming from codependency, you're really saying, I'm not good enough. I'm creating my identity by doing for you. Now, once again, context. Please keep in mind that I'm not remotely suggesting that you become isolated, solo, you stop doing fanfare for the common man, you stop serving. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that you get a better understanding of how you set yourself up to be disappointed. And if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to continue to create the same kind of results. Another codependency specialist and pioneer in the field defined codependency is these self-defeating learned behaviors or character defects that result in a diminished capacity to initiate or participate in loving relationships. That's one of the biggest deterrents to codependency, because most of your relationships will be with passive-aggressive partners, people who have affairs on you, people who will check out, or people who are emotionally and or physically addicted. Some of the most acute relationships will come from bipolar relationships, mental health type relationships, and it's common to be able to be codependent and then mate, date, secrete, attract, or be with someone who is an addict. Because when you're codependent, attracting someone with emotional or physical addictions allows you to fix them up. It allows you to enable them. This will also show up in your team. When you have codependent situations, you'll tend to attract people with chaos, drama, addictions, specifically food, alcohol, compulsive spending, pharmaceutical medication. Pharmaceutical medication is staggering how many people use Ambien, Adderall, Percocet, and all of the other situations to lower their emotional resistance, to lower anxiety, depression, mood swings, all of the other situations the medical community has pounded into your heads, and why these types of pills are handed out as candy. I have one of my really good clients, David Harris, who also is part-time collaborates with me, is going to be speaking at some of my events. He has over 20 years in the pharmaceutical field, and he can break down exactly what some of these medications do to the immune system, the adrenal system, and what the kind of toxicity it creates in its body. And that's the very reason that you should be detoxing, cleansing, releasing, letting go, having hypnotherapy, also going to colon therapy, fasting, juicing, changing your diet, and then starting to do some emotional fast. When you understand cause and effect, you can emotionally and physically begin to let go. Another one of my exceptional clients I'll be hosting an event with in El Paso, Texas, Casey Fluff, is the one who I assisted to learn just the basics of learning how to breathe. By learning how to breathe, you learn to create a whole different level of oxygen in your body. It changes the elastin in your brain. It creates a more relaxed brainwave state. It resets the neurological network for a few moments. And the more you actually, believe it or not, practice how to breathe, it creates a significant an insignificance in the past and less anxiety about the future. It really represents the term be here, be now o'clock. It's now or present moment consciousness. The more you can be in the present, the less time you'll spend in codependency and or emotional addictions, which virtually will change your energetic vibration and a cause and effect in who and what you attract. Now, if you are a prosperity seeker or seeking prosperity partners, you're on this call tonight, many of you have been mentored by some exceptional women and men and leaders. Many of you have had the opportunity to be plugged into cultures and tribes like Alexis Romano, Susan Sly. Some of you have been mentored by Brad Mossman, who's creating a great culture in a whole different type of healing. Some of you have seen some of my internet clients, Mark Hoverson. You've seen Arthur Tubman, Corey Shaines, and a whole host of other people who are in the process of transformation, creating 6- and 7-figure income. And each and every one of these people, if you ever had the opportunity to sit down and share with them, ask them questions, will let you know that they've been through some of the same situations that you have. And the more you understand cause and effect, here's a perfect example. How many of you have ever had a relative, a sister, or a woman that you knew being in an abusive relationship? She finally gets the courage, musters it up to leave an abusive, sometimes physically, oftentimes emotional relationship, and then voila, unfortunately, she's right back in the same situation in a relatively short period of time. How many of you grew up in a violent, abusive household, and you got to witness what it was like to see physical beatings, or perhaps that happened to you, and then miraculously, you end up attracting someone very similar? Well, this virtually becomes the law of attraction. Now, those obviously are exaggerated acute cases, although it's much more prevalent and common than you probably are aware of societally. If 3 out of 5 women have been molested, 2 out of 5 men have been molested, that equals 50% of society. It also means the large percent of society suffers in silence, suffers in shame, suffers in guilt. I have committed to the next several years to assisting people to let go of their guilt and their shame, and I'm creating forums to assist people to do that. That's why many of you are getting such great results in the guilt cleanse, because it's allowing you to let go and release emotional baggage, feelings, and events that keep you attracting the same situation over and over. Having low self-esteem and being codependent also keeps you from writing Facebook posts, blog posts, writing your story, telling your story. It keeps you from writing your story in the guilt cleanse because you have to write it perfectly. You have so much anxiety about being judged that you judge yourself. yourself judging others. You're so in. It's so common in my coaching to have someone say, "I really have a lot of fear about success, about what others are going to say about me." I go, "What others? You know, the ones who are going to judge me." I go, "Name one person that's going to judge you." Typically, the person that I'm asking these questions never has a specific person. It's a major generality that most people have in their fear of success. A lot of your fear of success is about being abused as you grew up in multiple and different situations. It creates a low self-esteem. It creates a situation that you might get in trouble. Failing represents trouble for a lot of you. If I fail, I made a major mistake. If I fail, I'm going to get into trouble. I can't afford to fail. If you can't afford to fail, you can't really afford to succeed. And if you can't afford to fail, it means that you have anxiety about can you control success. A lot of people contradict themselves by saying they have fear of failure when it's really anxiety of the responsibility of being and staying successful. And the more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the higher the probability that you will begin this process of letting go. What are some steps to letting go of control, and what is control? Control is this. Control is your emotional story about a future tense event that you feel you can't control. That is one of my definitions. Control is the thoughts that you keep in control to be and stay disappointed. Control is attempting to enable someone else's outcome by doing too much for them and allowing them to either hit rock bottom, fail, or not succeed on their own terms. Anxiety and then also control is also worrying. What is the value of worry? I worry all the time. I'm a worry wart, W-A-R-T. What is a worry wart? I worry all the time. I'm constantly worried. All I have to worry about is succeeding. Why would you worry about succeeding? And it's not all, but it's a very common statement. Worry is a very common word in the English structure of language in many people's communication style. Now, the more you understand how your words are your law, the more you understand that words have power, and the more you understand that words do not return void, you will begin to alter, change, let go of some of your word choices, because your unconscious does not separate fact and fiction. It does exactly what you condition it to do. And when you've used the same words based on the same feelings, based on the same events, then you'll attract the same situations over and over to fulfill a biochemical craving. What does that mean? It means that your body will go to the top of the dopamine shaft quickly. It'll reach the bottom equally as quickly because pleasure and pain. You become emotionally addicted to stuffing a feeling. You'll use an ulterior outer source to take the edge off. When you take the edge off, your body goes into a fight or flight situation and you drop into your body. So anytime you take a barbiturate or an amphetamine, or you take a bite of food that is not good and or healthy for you, or you take a double shot of Crown in a Dixie cup, or you have three pieces of prime rib and a few pieces of pie afterwards and polish it off with a few brewskis, a few Yinglings or Rolling Rocks to polish it off with a few shots of peppermint schnapps or any other multitude of situations that have sugar and yeast, you end up dropping into your body and your body releases a feeling and often followed by a sound that goes, ah, which gives you the immediate gratification, means your body goes straight to the top of the dopamine shaft and very quickly it falls to the bottom of the cortisol shaft because you've just experienced pleasure on setting yourself up for pain. It's the instant gratification for future pain, which is exactly what happens in codependency. You go out and you do something for someone else. You don't get the reward that you're seeking, you're disappointed, and you feel resentful. I can't believe after all I've done for you, after all I did for that jerk, he left the company. I mean, these are common statements. Oh, I can't believe I bought tickets for them to go to the event. I bought an airline ticket, and they quit the business on me after all the money I poured into them. I can't believe they would leave me. And you probably have done this before. You've gone out and find yourself a fixer-upper. You found yourself a fixer-upper boyfriend, a fixer-upper girlfriend, whatever the situation. You got them fixed up, and just when you got them fixed up so you could reach the law of the harvest, they up and left you, and there you are left standing. Now, if you are someone who grew up These are acute stories that I've also encountered in over 50-plus thousand hours of coaching. I've been coaching for 18-plus years. On an average of those 18 years, somewhere between 12 and 14-hour days, Monday through Wednesday, 12 on Thursday, about an average of 50 hours a week. Factor that would be over a period of a year. That's correct. That's about 2,600 hours on a calendar year that I log of coaching, so you can figure out how many hours of coaching that I have coached. That'll give you an indication. So I've seen many commonalities, many similarities. It's very common in a separation between a husband and wife, where the woman gets custody. The father is supposed to come and pick the children up, the child up, the son up, the daughter up on visitation day. There's an anticipation waiting to see father. The first time around, all of a sudden, dad doesn't show up at 5 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and dad never even calls because dad officially is checked out. Dad has become a deadbeat dad. Dad emotionally abandoned and or rejects the family because now dad has found his freedom. He is off to the race with other partners. And then what happens is then that creates a disappointment. So that creates a situation where often people close to me let me down. So to fulfill a biochemical craving that I've become addicted to, I'm going to do too much for people that are close to me so I can validate, justify letting myself down or setting people up to let me down so I can consistently say, this always happens to me. Now, if you're in a direct sales company, a network marketing company, and you're saying, I've enrolled X number of people and no one's done anything, well, there's two reasons. Well, there's multiple reasons, but I'll give you a couple of common ones. If you are someone who's able to sponsor people, enroll people, then you're probably not really recruiting. And you're going for the low-hanging fruit. Now, once again, keep this in context. It means that you're probably going for some of the easier sales because you have a story about rejection. You tell yourself it's easier to enroll someone in this situation. It's easier to sell a product and a service than it is a dream. Plus, I haven't made any money, so I can't attract anyone with my codependent, low self-esteem who has any power because that would contradict my giving. That's a lot of people's stories. All that is a lie. You can unequivocally let go of that because you do not have to be a superstar to attract one. Although if you have good habits, you have good emotional energy, it enhances the law of average. Being able to write good sales copy, ask good questions, can neutralize some of your low self-esteem as you're starting to build your esteem. The more you start to love yourself, the more you let go of the events that no longer serve you, the more you be present, be here, be now, the more that you start to collaborate with people that you really deserve, the more you can start to come from love, the more you can start to come from joy, bliss, and enlightenment, you'll attract a different person to your reality. But if you consistently come from anger, hate, and resentment, then your hostile energy based on being violated will alienate a lot of good people, and that definitely rang the bell with me. That was me, now a clock. I had developed TMJ. I had a mean grind on the left side of my jaw. I created a lot of pressure that was not real. I was pissed off a large percent of my addictive state. Then several years after, even though it did start to dissipate, I did start to get some relief. I also created a migraine headache. I went through a series of failures, ups and downs, and challenges for about 7 years to justify starting over in a whole myriad of situations of downlines, organizations, groups, and tribes that would end up leaving me. And I ended up in the NFL club in three categories. No friends left, no funds left, and not for long. So virtually after being 7 years full-time in the network marketing and direct sales industry, I virtually had no organization. I had a few contacts around the world, but I had no real close friends. Most of my friends and homies from the old days were drug addicts and alcoholics, and I'd disassociated myself. I'd started to create some new friends in the spiritual and AA community, and most of them were not in my direct sales businesses. And most of my direct sales businesses, I attracted a series of, although good people, very weak people when it came to production. I would tend to do all the effort for them. Back in the day, I used to do the meetings for them. in my office or over the telephones for them. I would do all the conference calls, all the meetings. I had very little duplication. My team became dependent on me. That's the superstar syndrome. I created a superstar syndrome when I was a superstar taking care of everyone. It really wasn't a superstar. I was super overwhelmed. I was doing way too much for a team, creating no duplication. You can't do that because it exhausts you, will burn you out, and then no one really produces. I mean, the law of the lid, you might be able to graduate up to a low five-figure income, but you'll never get to the land of promise when you have to be the issue, when you have to take care of people, rescue people, when you're the one doing all the party planning, when you have to be in everyone's lives, when you have to go in the back office and do people's auto ships, reverse ships, no ships, shipping of their shipping, when you have to be the shipper, when you have to, and I've seen a lot of people do this as classic. I've seen people create fake positions in multiple companies by putting multiple volumes on their credit cards, creating positions that are not real and expecting the downline to duplicate it. It just does not work like that. I've also seen companies that have strange pay plans where you can move volume around. And it's a trip. I've seen it back in the day where you can move volume around and you can create fake stories. And see, fake stories are just fake. That's what it is. And if you're one of those people that does that, you keep people in business on your credit cards, then you might be a codependent. That's something you really should evaluate. In my era, that was called sandbagging. It creates fake volume because there's no one really in that team producing, and it just creates, it's like thin air. It doesn't really work. It's not sustainable. It's not long-term. And most importantly, the money you think you're achieving on the bonuses at the end of the month are very hollow victories because you're cheating the system. And not only is it not duplicatable, it's bad karma, it's a bad money skill, and most importantly, it's an addictive codependent tendency to fulfill your low self-esteem by inflating it by having high self-confidence. And I've seen people do it. They walk the stage as getting an award. Now, once again, this is isolated incidents. It happens occasionally, but I have seen it. I've seen people get awards, walk the stage, but their whole organization is a sham because it's fake, and that's what some people do to fulfill codependency. Codependency also shows up in putting someone through school, putting them through education, then they leave you. Some of you may have had that happen. Codependency shows up in many, many fashions and forums. And so what I'm covering for you tonight is how to have a whole different level of emotional etheric energy. If you are someone who stuffs your feelings with codependence, food, drugs, alcohol, or any multitude of situation, it definitely is a direct reflection on your ability and or inability to attract the kind of people you require to build the culture with. Now, if you keep doing this over and over, you'll have a very low of your money lid. Now, you can actually go out and sponsor a lot of people. You can go out and enroll a lot of people. You can attract people on your email list, and you can sell a few houses by doing this. You can sell some low-level houses if real estate is one of the situations that you're in. But I promise you this, you will never get to the land of promise doing this because you don't really attract the people you require to collaborate with when you come from this type of energy. It's a very low level of emotional energy based on anxiety, anger, hate, resentment, guilt and shame, abandonment, and rejection. Now, the energies that affect most codependents specifically are abandonment and rejection, and then guilt and shame. And that type of energetic vibration tends to attract violators and other codependents to fulfill your disappointment. And you can graduate up to maybe one, two, three, a few thousand dollars a month, and then the people tend to drop off. Now understand, this is arbitrary, and a lot of it is because you're relatively new. You don't really understand the inner game of the business. That's the reason you go to the workshops, the rallies, and the conventions. That's the reason you stay in the game long enough to master a set of emotional skills that allow you to transform. But if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you unequivocally will receive the same result. Here are some books I highly recommend that you take advantage of. Obviously, the best book on the subject is Codependent No More by Melody Beatty. This book will give you great insight into understanding how and what you attract. any book on synchronicity and law of attraction will really assist you to understand how and what you attract. One of the best books on the science of the neurological brain, which will allow you to understand cause and effect and why you do what you do, is David Hawkins' Power versus Force. Hawkins also wrote the Handbook for the Guilt Cleanse. The Handbook for the Guilt Cleanse group is Letting Go by David Hawkins. It's a book that's very underpublicized, and it's absolutely one of the best books that I have ever read and or seen on the topic of letting go. Letting go is just a very uncommon topic that very few people write about, really even understand, and or can break down, define, and or explain. Letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. When you are letting go, you're not letting go of the handrail. You're not letting go of the guardrail. You're not letting go of anything physical. You're letting go of what you hang on to emotionally. And most importantly, you are letting go of your story. The story that you tell yourself continues to debilitate you, the one that doesn't serve you. The story that says, I am not good enough. The story that keeps you doing the same thing over and over, yet hoping and praying that somehow, some way, mythically, magically, that the success fairy will ride to the rescue. Queen Guinevere and Sir Galahad of success will show up in your circle of influence. They will come from your attractor factor and lead you to the land of promise. It's relatively challenging to attract people who are emotionally, spiritually, energetic when you're coming from weakness, anxiety, fear, and doubt. And when you're in that kind of space, that's why you fear failing. Now, here's some real insight for you tonight. As you prepare to go into the next day, as you prepare to get on an airplane in the next few days, or you prepare to go into free enterprise tomorrow morning, let go of your anxiety about failing. Realize that your real anxiety about failing is your anxiety about the responsibility of succeeding. You're saying failing when you really mean succeeding. Failing is already familiar. You fail by failing to engage. You can't succeed in any endeavor without the reflexes, the repetition, and the experience. And if you're in a business that requires sales and marketing skills and or abilities, then you have to be able to ask empowering questions. You have to be able to ask questions in a sequence. You don't ask direct questions. You learn to ask clearly defined questions about the outcome you seek. That means you'd have to let go of your guilt, your codependent guilt about offending someone. You'd have to let go of your codependent guilt about making a mistake. You'd have to let go of your codependent guilt about bothering someone. You'd have to let go of your codependent guilt about enrolling someone who might fail. Your anxiety about failure attracts people who fail. Then you have anxiety about their failing, their failure. So that means you're controlling the control to be out of control of the control that you control. And then you control being disappointed by either one of two situations, not engaging or engaging with people that are unengageable so you can be disappointed. This is how a codependency becomes exhausting. And the more exhausted you stay, the more exhausted you are, the angrier you will be. What many codependents do not understand is how angry they are. And they are shocked when you point it out to them. They get very sensitive and very defensive, often hostile. They lose their composure, fly off the handle, and go into emotional blackouts, and then they can't remember some of the things they say. This happens. They get intoxicated without imbibing or drinking in alcoholic beverages or medication. And it's very common for someone that you think is very meek and timid to have very, very stuffed feelings, and the stuffed feelings often puts weight on their body to mask the rage that they hold on to. And if you are one of these people that you don't really understand your anger, it also means that you've got your passion completely walled off. And when you live in that very soft, meek, codependent resentment that keeps you doing the same thing over and over, it's very hard for you to feel worthy of receiving. Your passion is completely shut off down somewhere in your stuffed anger, and you can't really connect with yourself. So you stay in an upper body experience, processing, thinking, evaluating, getting ready to get ready. Then you use language that's not very skilled. Uh-huh, yeah, okay, sure. You don't really commit in your language style. If I had to say, I guess, I worry, if I had to say, are very common codependent terms. Codependents have challenges challenges committing. Their language style is indecisive. Their language style keeps them from ever really committing because codependency keeps you safe and disappointed. And the more you understand the cause that creates the effect, the cause are events. Being codependent is not, you're not codependent or you're not, you don't stay in an overwhelmed, anxious state because you're anxious to stay overwhelmed because of the events that shape the feelings. The more you understand why you do what you do, cause and effect, the more you understand mind-body connections and conditions. Another book you should be reading is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. Louise Hay unequivocally breaks down for you in her books emotional diseases that get caused by the emotional effects that create the emotional events that creates the feelings. The more you understand cause and effect, the quicker you can let go. I'd let go if you just tell me how. I just did. Letting go is not physical. Letting go is a decision. That is how you let go. Letting go is by you deciding that you're going to separate yourself from the event, meaning the events no longer own you. But if an event owns you emotionally and or physically, there's a high probability that you will require something. Your brain will send a series of signals based on unresolved issues and unresolved neurons that wire and fire. You'll end up stuffing your feelings with food, alcohol, pharmaceutical medication, compulsive spending, gambling, sex, anorexia, bulimia, and a whole multitude of other situations. A large percent of society is walking around medicated, and they will even say, but it's pharmaceutical, but it's doctor prescribed, it's medically prescribed. It doesn't matter whether it's medically prescribed, because if you become dependent on an ulterior source to create your identity, you are addicted. And the more you let go of your addicted state, the higher the frequency, the higher the vibration, the higher the emotional etheric or energy, the less your message is mixed. See, when you send a mixed message, when you come from, I'm not sure, I don't believe, I do believe, I'm not sure if I can, I could, I might, when you fear success or any multitude of situations from an anxious state, you'll continue to attract the people and situations to fulfill the feelings that you were once violated in, either physically and or emotionally. I am really laying this out for you so you have a better understanding, so you know why you do what you do, so you no longer feel overwhelmed, you no longer carry 30, 40, 50 pounds of unresolved body weight that you require to keep you safe. It's also very common for codependents who enter into diet programs, detoxing, cleansing, to begin to lose weight. And then they'll have a story, oh my God, now I'm losing weight. Men are hitting on me. Women are hitting, oh, I can't have that happen because it will destroy the relationship I am in. No, what I'll do is I'll stuff my feelings. I'll give away my power. I'll take care of the human planet. I'll keep this weight on my body. I'll continue to attract the same situation in the control that I control. I won't succeed. I'll go through the motions, be and stay disappointed, tiptoe quietly through life, arrive at my grave safely, live the pain of regret. Unfortunately, that's a very common story. And if you're sick and tired of the same situation over and over, and 2015 is your year, baby, then now tonight is the time to let go. As you begin to engage with yourself, as you begin to go to bed tonight, forgive yourself. As you begin to go to bed tonight because you're inspired to wake up tomorrow because you got a great month ahead of you, well, you want to let go of the anxiety that keeps you overwhelmed. You want to learn to be and stay more organized. You want to be able to separate the past from the present. You want to let go of the anxiety about the future and live in a present state awareness. And many of you just 2 years ago went to an event where I spoke. Your whole life has changed in 2 years. My philosophy is a 6-month, 12-month, 18-month, and 24-month process. Anyone on tonight's call in 24 months from this very evening can be a 6 or a 7-figure income earner. There are 4 of my clients that I know are on tonight's call: Tara Romano, C.G. Siddons, Alexis Romano, and Jennifer Trinkter, who I started coaching exactly 3.5 years ago. All of these exceptional women went on to become multiple 6-figure six-figure income earners in a very short period of time. Their story can be your story. I watched Susan Sly do the very same situation. I watched a gentleman named Arthur Tubman. I coached another superstar internet marketer named Mark Hoverson. I've coached many people who in a two-year period went from the outhouse to the penthouse. I myself had the same situation happen to me. I went from $100,000 in credit card debt to $462,000 in a gross in a calendar year. There's any one of you on tonight's call as you begin to let go of your emotionally addicted state, as you begin to let go of some of the toxic spiritual and emotional vampires in your life, as you start to evaluate your relationships a little better, as you start to understand who really merits time, who deserves time, as you begin to become much more systematic and methodical, as you start to follow people who were once average, ordinary people that had exceptional desire, as you start to follow these people, your emotional, etheric energy, your game will change. As you begin to articulate your feelings into words, as you have the courage to write and tell your story, as you start to let go of your control of not being able to write, not being able to speak, as you start to find people who give you the forum in the room to voice your story, you'll begin to let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed, giving your power away, enabling others, being and staying addicted. It'll change your attractor factor. You virtually, in 1 year's time, can go from where you are right now to a minimum of five figures in a calendar month, but you must have a belief, a sense of certainty that empowers you rather than disempowers you. But if you keep getting ready to get ready, hoping and waiting for the mythical, magical success fairy or the success gnome to show up, it ain't going to happen, because it's really up to you. There are going to be people in your life who will loan you their power. There will be people in your life who will empower you. But you have to be able to step to the plate, create the simple emotional discipline one day over time, over a very short period of time, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months to reinvent yourself. And as you begin to feel a lot more comfortable with me, I am free, then you will no longer tell the same set of stories that keep you emotionally, physically, overwhelmed and addicted. It has been my absolute unequivocal privilege and pleasure to share with you on tonight's call, the codependency call. This call is officially a call and will be available for playback tomorrow by 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is all she wrote for me, folks. It's see you. Can't wait to be with you in this next few days. It's going to be a fabulous weekend for many of you. I will see you Thursday at the Millionaire Blueprint. Many of you I will see in beautiful Philadelphia next Saturday. The waters will part, the weather will be warm, and we will have a landmark event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you, everyone, for being on tonight's call. This call is officially a call. If you have not joined the, and it's not the, it's called Guilt Cleanse, GuiltCleanse. It is an absolutely rock-solid forum with a lot of integrity and a lot of great leaders who plug into that group, and you're able to connect with people in the process of transformation, change, releasing their guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection issues, and creating a whole different level of space and power for you. Thank you very much, everyone. This call is a call. Have a great evening.